going to have a scripture reading now.
And David Orr is going to come and read the scriptures
to us. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1.
And he's going to be reading from verse 18.
That the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary and thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
Thank you, David. May the Lord bless the reading of God's word to our hearts today for his name's sake.
And we want to make reference today to verse 23 of this chapter, at least part of this verse. The verse reads, Behold, it's a quotation from the Old Testament. It says, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Let's just take a moment and bow in prayer.
We want to ask the Lord for his help and his blessing upon us. Our God and Father, we do look to thee today to be with us now as we come to consider thy word. We thank thee for the scriptures of truth that are inspired of God and given to us and handed down through the centuries to this very hour. And we pray that thou will bless us now as we come to consider thee. We ask that thou will speak to us. Bless us. We thank thee for the Sabbath school pupils and their taking part in the service. We ask thee, Lord, to bless each one of them in their young lives. And may the hand of the Lord be upon them, not only today, but in the coming days as well. Bless the whole work of the Sabbath school. As it continues, we ask now in Jesus' name. Amen. Names are important to us all. We all have our own individual names. Maybe we like the name we're given. Maybe we don't like the name that we have been given. Maybe we would like somebody else's name. But our name is our name. And names are very important for the simple fact that our names help to identify us, who we are. How else would we be known if we didn't have a name by which we were called? How would we be distinguished one from another if you didn't have a name? And sometimes when somebody has the same name as another person, and maybe they're in the same class or school or among, even in church with the same name. Somebody might call a person's name and two people might look round. Or if there's more than that, they might all look round because they've been called by their name. And immediately they think somebody's calling me, somebody's looking for me, calling my attention. So our names help to identify us. And certainly that's true with regards to maybe our surnames, identify which family we belong to. And immediately again, if somebody has a particular surname, well, you'll know automatically that person belongs to a particular family because they've got that name. Our names help to identify us. Our names as well say something about our character. All our names have a meaning, every one of us. Now, some of our names are not from the English language. I would say maybe most of our names are not from the English language. Our names have been imported from other languages and other cultures into our language and into our culture. But every name has a meaning. And it's interesting to find out the meaning of your name. And even what's more interesting to notice that oftentimes we live up to the meaning of our names. Even though our names were given to us away back when we were born, and maybe even before we were born, our parents had a particular name in mind for the child that was going to be born, if it was going to be a boy, well, the name was picked, or the girl, the name was picked.
Oftentimes the remarkable thing is that we live up to the meaning of our needs, even though it was given to us long before our character ever was developed, long before anybody knew what we were going to do in life, or the type of individual that we would be. Our name was given to us, and we live up to that name. That's certainly very true when we come to the Bible, and when we come to Bible names that were given to particular individuals in the Scriptures. We discover that in the Bible, names are very important. Absolutely important. They weren't given just casually. They weren't given because somebody liked the sound of a name. Or maybe because somebody in the family had that particular name and they thought, there's the name where the next generation is going to carry on this name as well. And maybe even a grandparent has the name or whatever. And it's going to be passed down from generation to generation. Well, oftentimes in the Scriptures, a name was given to a child that was born because of some significance of that individual and what they were going to do in life, and their name was going to have a connection with what they were going to be known as. There's some very obvious ones in the Bible. For example, the first man was called Adam, which was a reference to the fact that he was made from the dust of the ground. The word Adam means ground. In fact, it means red earth. And it was a reference to the fact that God made the first man out of the dust of the ground, as we're taught in the book of Genesis, in creation. Again, the first woman was called Eve. And Eve, the name Eve, means living. And she was given that name because the Bible tells us she was the mother of all living. Every individual has descended from her. Down through all of those generations and centuries and millennia, down until now, we're all descendants of that first woman, and her name was Eve, and she has the name that means living. And you could go through a whole series of names. There's another one, very interesting one in the Bible. There's a man called Methuselah in the Bible. Well, he had a meaning, and it was more like a sentence than it was a word. Because Methuselah, the name Methuselah, who was the oldest man that ever lived, his name means when he is dead, it shall be sent. And he walked around in the times in which he lived, and this was his name, and it was in Hebrew, and it was like as if somebody was saying that sentence out every time they called him by his name. When you're dead, it shall be sent. And I'm sure there were people who stopped him and asked, what's coming when you die? You see, the flood was coming when Methuselah died. And when you work out the chronology of the Bible, in the exact same year that Methuselah died, the flood came upon the world. And for years and years and years and years before that, God had given to this son that was born, and this man, this name, that when anybody would have met him, they would immediately, at least if they didn't ask him, the thought would have entered into their head, what is coming when you die? And as I say, the flood was coming. God gave him that name that would indicate that something remarkable was going to happen when he would die. There's many others. There's times when God appeared to people to tell them the name they were to ask their child or to call their child. For example, Abraham and Sarah had a son that they waited for a long time. They didn't think they were going to have any children. And then finally the Lord gave them a son. But the Lord didn't say, well, Abraham and Sarah, it's up to you to decide what you're going to call this son. The Lord said, you're going to call him Isaac. You're going to call him Isaac. That's his name. I've given you the son. You prayed for him. You waited for him. You thought you were never going to have any children at all. I'm giving you this son, and he's going to be a special son, and you're going to call him the name that I tell you. And he was called Isaac. There's another individual to come over into the New Testament, a little closer to what we're thinking about this morning. There was a boy who was born, and he was called John. John the Baptist. Again, to an elderly couple. To Zacharias and Elizabeth. And this son was born, and they were told, you've got to call him John. They wanted to call him. There were some of the family who said, no, he's going to be called his father's name. Sure, that would be the expected thing. That was the custom in the culture then, back in the land of Israel. The custom was to call him after his father. And he would take on the same name, and there were those who wanted to call him Zacharias. But they said, no, he's not to be called Zacharias. We've got to call him John, because God has told us to call him John. So names are very, very important in the Scriptures. And that brings us to one very special individual, and names that were given to him. Now imagine, particularly to those younger ones in the Sabbath school, imagine if you had 100 names. Imagine if you were called by 100 names. Because when we come to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Scriptures, we discover that there are more than 100 names given to him in the Bible. You see, his birth was spoken of long before he ever came. Long before he ever came into this world, his birth was spoken of. So, he's spoken of in the Old Testament. And then when we get into the New Testament and his coming into this world, and then his life and death and rising again, in all of those portions of Scriptures, you find name after name after name given to the Lord Jesus Christ. Over 100 in total. Over 100 names in total given to him. You see, so unique was Jesus Christ, so special was Jesus Christ, that it took all of these names to indicate to us something of his character. And I said a little while ago that people live up to their names. And that's very true with regards to Jesus Christ. He lived up to his names. And those names that were given to him, over 100 in total were given to him, set forth something of his character, set forth something of the work that he would do, set forth something of the type of person that he was going to be. Now we just want to look at one of them today. In that portion that David read for us, Matthew chapter 1, well, there's two names that are given to Christ there. In verse 21, he's given the name Jesus, and we're told why that was so. He's to be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. But it's the one in verse 23 that we want to take a little moment or two and consider this morning. He also was called Emmanuel. We'll just read the verse again. Verse 23, it says, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which, being interpreted, is God with us. Emmanuel. So it's the name Emmanuel that I want us to consider for a moment or two. We really want to look at it in two ways. We want to think about the meaning of the name and then the significance of that name. The meaning of it, first of all. Well, the meaning of it is given to us there in the verse. This name Emmanuel means God with us. It's a Hebrew name. It's a Hebrew name. Hebrew was the language of the Jews in Old Testament texts. And even if we were never to learn any Hebrew and didn't understand the word of it today, well, we still would be able to find out the meaning of this name, because we're given the meaning of it in the verse. It says that his name was to be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So the Lord would have us to understand the meaning of it. He has given that meaning in his word. And in our language, it means God with us. No doubt about it. We're not left to surmise and try to work it out and not really know or understand what it is. We know exactly what it means. The name Emmanuel means God with us. And this is not the first occurrence of this name. As I said at the beginning, this is a quotation from the Old Testament. There's a prophet, one of the prophets, Isaiah, way back in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, 500 years before Christ ever came to this earth, the prophet Isaiah, who was ministering in the land of Israel, he announced that God was going to send his dear son into this world. Now how accurate is the scriptures? 500 years before Jesus Christ ever came into this world, it was announced that this child would be born of a virgin and he would have this name Emmanuel. And here it is being quoted in Matthew's Gospel. You see, Matthew's Gospel was written for the Jews. It was written to convince the Jews that Jesus of Nazareth was indeed the Messiah. Because many of them doubted it, many of them questioned it, didn't believe it. So Matthew, he was a Jew, converted to the Lord, and he was inspired by the Lord to write this Gospel to prove that Jesus of Nazareth was indeed the one promised in the Old Testament Scriptures. And that's why in this Gospel, Matthew again and again and again and again will quote the Old Testament. And he will say this Scripture was fulfilled. And he'll take portions out of the Old Testament and he will say this was fulfilled with Jesus of Nazareth coming into the world, or about his life, or about his death, or some other aspect of the person and work of Jesus Christ. And here, he's pointing out, Jesus Christ is the Messiah promised in the Old Testament. He fulfilled this promise made 500 years before he was ever to come into the world by the prophet Isaiah, that God would send his Son into the world. You see, the Scriptures are reliable. That's one thing we can draw from this name. The scriptures are reliable. There's 500 years ago the prophet made this prophecy. And it came to pass that God indeed did keep his word. And we can always be sure about that, men and women, and boys and girls as well. God keeps his word. What God says in his word will come to pass. Even though it might seem so strange to us, it might even be the thing that's the very opposite of what we might think is going to happen or come to pass. If God has said it in his word, we can rely on it that it's true. In fact, you know, not that we're going to make it the subject for today, but there was not one prophecy made in the Old Testament about Jesus Christ that was not fulfilled. And there are hundreds. There are hundreds of prophecies. Just like there are over 100 names, I think, if I remember right, it's over 200 prophecies. Specific prophecies in the Old Testament were made about the person of Jesus Christ, and every one of them was fulfilled. Every one of them was fulfilled. And you see, there's a whole lot of other prophecies in the Old Testament about the second coming. Because Jesus Christ is coming again. If he's not coming the second time, he didn't need to come the first time. There's no need for him to come the first time unless he's coming the second time. And the Bible says he is coming the second time, and there are prophecies that are made about him coming the second time, and they're going to be fulfilled just in the same way that every one of them were fulfilled with regards to his first coming. But moving on from the meaning of his name, what does his name signify to us? Why was he given this name? We know what it means, but what does it say to us? Well, let me suggest a few things very quickly to you. First of all, surely it highlights God's great plan and what it entails for the matter of salvation. You see, the appearance of Jesus Christ in the earth with this name indicates to us that God was sending his own Son into the world to be the Savior. He was sending his own Son. He wasn't sending an angel. Now, there were times when, in Old Testament history, before the Bible was complete, that God did send an angel. We mentioned it there a little while ago, that there were times when the Lord appeared unto individuals and told them what name they were to call a particular child. So there were times when God sent an angel to do a work, to be a messenger to the earth, because that's what the word angel means. The word angel means messenger. So there were times when a heavenly messenger came down to the earth before the Bible was complete, and they would have told somebody a particular message. Sometimes it was to do with naming a child. But God didn't send an angel to Bethlehem. He sent his own dear Son. He sent heaven's best. The second person of the Trinity, God the Son, came down into this world and was born as a babe, taking our nature into union with himself there in Bethlehem. So that's the first obvious thing that it tells us. That's why he can have the name God with us. Nobody else could take that name. No angel could take that name upon themselves. And therefore, we know that that individual that was born in Bethlehem and lay in the manger in Bethlehem was none other than the Son of God in human nature. He's a man. He's God with us. But also something else that it emphasizes is that no one else but God's dear Son could save sinners. You see, why would God give his Son? Why would the Son of God leave heaven, set aside the glory that he had? He was worshipped by the angels in heaven, the Bible tells us. And yet he set aside all of that glory that he had with the angels in heaven, and he came down to this earth and he veiled his glory in human flesh. Why would he do that? Why would God send his Son to do that? Well, we are told in the scriptures that there is no other way to save sinners. And you and I, all of us, without exception, are sinners before God. It doesn't matter who we are today. Every one of us in this church this morning are sinners by nature and by practice. We have broken God's law in some way or other. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter what upbringing we might have or background we might have. Without exception, every one of us, the Bible says. The Bible specifically states that. It says there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory. Now there are things that differentiate us one from the other. And that where that verse appears in the Bible, Romans chapter 3, it's in the context of Jews and Gentiles. But there, Paul says, there's no difference. Even though there are people in the world who are Jews today, and us who are Gentiles, he says there's no difference. All have sinned. Doesn't matter whether you're a Jew with all the privileges that the Jews had in Old Testament times, or whether you're a Gentile that had very little knowledge of the truth of God. Paul says, no difference. All have sinned. And therefore, we need a Savior. That's why he's given the other name there in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, where it says, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He's coming to do a saving work. And the only one who can do that saving work is no one else but the Son of God. He has to be God manifest in the flesh. He has to be Emmanuel. And this name, when we think about it and the importance of it and the significance of it, this name is telling us that no one less than God's own dear Son has to be the Savior. You see, there's no other way into heaven other than through the Son of God. There's no other way for us. We cannot work our way to heaven. We cannot think, well, I'm not a bad person. Don't do anybody any harm. I try to do the best I can. I try to be a decent neighbour and live an upright life. All of those things are highly commendable and right to be done, but none of those things get us into heaven. Only Jesus Christ can get us into heaven. He's the one who is the Savior. He's the one who has been given the name Jesus that means Savior. And if we are to be in heaven, then we must come to know the Savior. Because in coming into this world, the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross to pay the debt of sin. That's why he is the Savior. He paid the debt of sin. And the debt that was required, well, the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So in order for us to have eternal life and go to heaven, someone has to die in our place. That's what's required. A sinless individual has to die in our place. And the only person who could do that was Jesus Christ, God's own dear Son. And that's why God sent his Son. There is no other way. You see, if there was another way, if you and I could do something, even if it required a lot of effort, but if we could do something to get us into heaven, God wouldn't have needed to send his Son. He could have stayed in heaven. But the fact that we're told in the scriptures, the one who came as God manifest in the flesh, reminds us there is no other way. It's not through a church, it's not through an individual, an earthly individual that is, it's not through ourselves. No, it's through Jesus Christ, God's own dear Son. That's the way of salvation. One further thing that I want you to think about, what does this name signify? It signifies that we will have his presence with us in life and in death. You see, the meaning of the name is God with us. But for those who know him, who come to trust in him, for those who realize their need of salvation and they believe on Jesus Christ for salvation, he promises to be with us in life and in death. If we are those who come to him, who realize our need of him, he promises that he will be with us. Not only for a little time, but he will be with us all through our lives, right up until our death, right up through death, right up until he takes us into glory. And he's with us all of that time, to do many things, to guide us, to keep us, to protect us, to eventually, as I say, bring us home to glory. There's many, many different things that we could consider that the Lord will do for us if we know him as our Savior. The Psalms, just to quote one example, maybe brings them all together. When he was speaking about the Lord, the psalmist in one of the Psalms, he said, this God will be our God, and he will be our guide even unto death. And there's the thought of God with us. This God is our God. Well, there's the idea of coming to know him, coming to trust in him, coming to believe on him. And then there's the outcome, the results of that, the benefits of having him. It is that he will be our guide. Not just for a little while, just not now and again. No, the psalmist says he will be our guide right until death, or through death, the thought is, bringing us into glory. So there are some things that this name signifies, this name Emmanuel. One final thing, before we conclude, I want you to notice. And that is that this truth, God with us, is to be accepted by us all. You see, why does the Holy Spirit here in Matthew chapter 1 inspire Matthew to interpret the meaning of the name? Surely that implies that it's interpreted here that we might know the meaning and not only that we might know the meaning, but that we would understand and receive this truth. We would understand and receive this truth. You see, it's not that the Lord would have us to remain in ignorance about it, not knowing what the name means, just reading it in the Bible and passing on. Sure, it makes no relevance to us. It has no relevance, and we can just pass on. We can just read it and go on to the next verse or the next chapter. Surely the fact that the Holy Spirit here inspires Matthew to give us the meaning of the name, it is designed that we might understand and that we might come to know what this truth is all about. You see, the truth is not just for the Jew, it's also for the Gentile. The truth is for the Gentile as much as it is for the Jew. And that's why today the Bible is in our language, in English. It's for our benefit as well. It's that we might read and understand the Scriptures and understand that God has a great plan of salvation and that entailed His Son coming to this world. It's here that we might understand. That we might understand easily. We can read the Bible in our own language. And we encourage people to do that. Read the Bible for yourself. Take it down and read it. Don't listen to what somebody else tells you the Bible says. Read it for yourself. And how beneficial it is that we have it in our own language, that we can read it and meditate upon it. You see, God would have us to understand. God would have us to understand. He would have us to understand that if we are to be in heaven, we need to come to accept this truth. We need to accept this truth. We need to come to believe on Jesus Christ as the Savior. In John chapter 8 and verse 32, it says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You see, there's a benefit today in knowing the truth. There's a purpose in having the Bible. There's a purpose in reading it. There's a purpose in seeking to understand the Bible. It is that it would bring us to a knowledge of the truth, to a saving knowledge of it, that we might know for ourselves that our sins are forgiven through Jesus Christ and what He has done, and that we are ready for heaven. You see, we're not just to go by and say, well, it doesn't really matter. The more important thing, and sadly that's how many people think today. That's their attitude in life. Oh, I've got so many other things in life to think about. Thinking about salvation or the need of my soul or heaven's the last thing I've got to think of. Well, really, men and women, it ought to be the first. There's nothing more important. We're only in this world for a little while, and none of us know the day of our death. None of us know how quickly our days can end in this world, for we need to make preparation and be ready for the world to come. And that's why we have the Bible, that's why Christ came into this world. That's why we can read these things, that's why the Lord explains them to us, even giving us the meaning of a name. So that we might know for ourselves that this is how we can be saved and have our sins forgiven. One final thing, just to conclude on this. You see, if we receive the truth of God with us, as this name suggests with the name, we will know the benefit of having God for us. You see, if we believe and receive the truth of God with us, that Christ sent His Son into the world to be the Savior of sinners, then we have the benefit of God being for us. And that's very important because there is coming a day when we're going to stand with Him. And we want the Lord to be for us. We want the Lord to say, that person belongs to me. I saved that person. That person believed on me while they were in the world. They heard about me. They heard about my coming into the world. They heard why I came into the world. And they believed on me to the saving of their soul. They're mine. You see, we want the Lord to be for us someday. There's a verse in Romans, it's Romans 8 and 31. It says, Who shall then say, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? But God is only for us, men and women, if we believe and trust Him as our Savior. And when we think of that name, Emmanuel, let's always remember what it means and what it signifies. And the importance for us all, everyone, old and young, coming to trust in Him as our Savior. And then we will be able to say, God is for me. God is for me. God will own me as His. And one day take me home. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts today, in His name's sake. We're going to bow together in prayer.